Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
I was thinking about what I was going to preach on tonight. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. God has done a wonderful thing in our church. God has just built a church. This is not a place where we come together to be entertained once a week. It's a place where the body of Christ gets together and we encourage one another into love and good works. We don't do that just on Sunday morning. We do it Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Some come out on Tuesday evening for visitation. Some come to Saturday soul winning. We get to enjoy one another and fellowship with one another, and that's a great, great privilege. We get to serve one another. It might be by taking an offering. It might be by shaking hands or being a greeter. It might just be by talking to a brother or sister in Christ, but we get that. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the process of service, and I was thinking about how people serve in different ways and the different types of people that actually come to church. And I thought about this story, and I want to read you this story. I want to read you the story of the woman at the well, because in this story, I think we see all sorts of different types of people who you find in church or around church at different times. And you see people that are different in areas of service. And you see people through her life. You can see the process of service, how people grow from one area to another area and grow together. And that's what the church is all about. So John chapter 4, it says, "When therefore," verse 1, "the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee." He's heading down to Galilee, or up to Galilee, and he the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. He knew that God wanted him to go to Samaria, that God wanted him to meet, God the Father wanted him to meet this woman in Samaria. Now, it was not typical for a Jew to go through Samaria because the Jews from Judea were pure in their bloodline, and they were proud of that. The Samaritans had intermarried with the Gentiles, and that wasn't considered right by the Jewish purists. And so there was contention, there were problems, there was fussing. The Samaritans were the ones who had first gone away from worshiping the true and only God. And so the Jews would have blamed the Samaritans for all the judgment that had come upon them. There was all sorts of criticism between the Samaritans and the Jews. And so Jesus going through Samaria was an unusual thing, but he knew that's where God the Father wanted him to go. He knew what was going to take place. Then the Bible says, "Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." That is, it was about noon. It was 12 o'clock. Father, I pray that you'll use this message tonight to challenge us to be the kind of servants, God, the kind of servers that you want us to be. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus comes to this well in this place called Samaria, in a place that he's not typically to be, nor a Jewish person would typically be, in a place of conflict, a place where he was would have been racially unaccepted. I remember years ago when I was in Bible college, and we were in Lynchburg, Virginia. And we decided one night that we really wanted to just go and witness to anybody. We decided to walk from the campus, our church campus, back home to our dorms. Our dorms were on the other side of the city. And we were we were heading towards we were heading home, and as we were heading home, we were witnessing just to all sorts of different people. We were heading down into the black area of town, and there is a black area of town in Lynchburg. So we were heading down there. There were two white boys heading down into this black area of town. It was Friday evening, and it was about 10 o'clock at night. It was a rowdy area, very rowdy area. And as we started going down there, two black guys came up to us and said, "What are you guys doing down here?" We said, "We're down here just to tell people about Jesus. We're going to go and talk to..." They said, "You're not going down there." I said, we're going to go down and talk to people about the Lord. It'll be okay. God's with us." They said, "You're not going down there. Talk to us about Jesus." Well, I said, "Why?" They said, "You're not going to be accepted down there. Now, what we'll do is we'll drive you around to the other side, but you're not going to go down into that area." And I said, "Okay." And so we got in the car, and we talked to them about Jesus. And they drove us around and said, "Listen, you come back here during the daytime, and you'll be okay, but don't come here at night." Jesus was walking into a place where he was not going to be racially accepted. And that was just the case. That was the reality of that situation. And so he's in a place that is a difficult place, but he's going because God wants him to go. So the Bible says it's noon, it's daytime, and he comes to this well. He sits down at the well. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? How can you be talking to me? First of all, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Number two, you're a male Jew, and I'm a female Samaritan, and you're not supposed to be talking to me. For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, and from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father, Jacob?" "You're going to give me living water? You don't have any water. You don't even have a bucket to draw water from. Are you great? You have no abilities. And you think you're greater than Jacob, our father, to give us living water?" The Bible says in verse 12, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well springing up unto everlasting life." You're going to give me water that will take care of me temporarily, but I want to give you water that will give you life and energy that's just everlasting. The woman saith unto her, Sir, "Give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." I want what you've got. I want what you've got. So God, now Jesus lays down some conditions. And Jesus saith unto her, "Go, call thy husband, and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had in the past five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thine husband. In this thou saidest truly." Yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands in the past. You've left all of them. And now you're sleeping with some guy and he's not your husband. Well. Jesus didn't pull any punches, did he? I mean, here it is. Just lays it right out. And the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." I love that statement. you must be a prophet. You know things. You got to be a prophet. Our father worshipped in this mount. So she changes the subject. Let's not talk about adultery anymore. Let's talk about worship. Our father worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, a woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah. I am Emmanuel. I am in God in human flesh. Upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked to a woman. He was doing something he shouldn't have been doing culturally. Yet no man saith, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou to her? Nobody asked the question. They just whispered to each other. They criticized. The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and saith to the man, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then went they out of the city and came to him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. What an amazing story. Now, there's a lot of applications that we can draw from this story. But when I look at this, I want you to see this in light of how God works in people's lives. I want you to see how things started off in this lady's life. First of all, I want you to see that she was a worker. She was a worker. She had done things wrong, but she didn't want to deal with that. She was going to a well. She was going to the well to draw water. She was not a lazy person. She was not a what somebody that you would look at and say, hey, she was morally the picture of morality. But here's what people do in their lives. We have sin in our lives. We have things that we are dealing with in our lives, but we don't want to deal with them. We say, hey, look, this is the way it is, and we try to replace the sin or overcome the sin or the guilt that's in our life by doing work to make ourselves acceptable to God. I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to do something for other people. I'm going to do something that makes me, that gives value to my life. I'll do things. I want you to understand there's a lot of workers who come to church. There are a lot of workers who are thinking, hey, I'm going to work. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to work hard at becoming something. But and by doing certain things, hey, I will overcome this guilt, or I won't have to deal with the things that are in my life that are not pleasing to God. God will accept my work. There are people trying to work their way to heaven. There really are. They're trying to become good enough to be accepted. And in fact, there are workaholics who work and work and work and work for acceptance, to become something. And I want you to understand that God, it's a wonderful thing to work for God. Can you say amen to that? But God doesn't accept you because you are a worker. God wants you to come to him and recognize your work is never going to get you to heaven. He wants you to come to the point where you recognize the fact that you're a sinner and you deserve to go to hell and you need him as your Lord and Savior and God. Good works will get nobody to heaven, but there's a lot of people that are going to work, that are going to church, that are trying to work to please God. Look, if you're saved, we talked about this morning, if you're saved, you are pleasing to God. You are pleasing to God because you're his child. Jesus Christ suffered and died and paid for your sin. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, having paid for your sin. Your sins are paid for. He was seen by hundreds of people, went back to heaven. You called on him and asked him to give you eternal life. When you did that, he declared that you are righteous. You are righteous in the sight of God. because of what Jesus Christ did. You do not have to work to please God. He is pleased with you no matter what you do. Can you say amen to that? Listen, I love it when my grandchildren do nice things for me. I've got cards that say, Grandma and Grandpa, I want you to know we love you. I love to get those cards. I file those cards, papers with handprints on them. I love that. I've got notes that are written from my children that just say that I love. I love that. But I don't love them because of what they did for me. I just love them because of my kids. I just love them because they're my grandkids. I love our children not because of the work they do. I love our grandchildren not because of the work they do, because they're my children. And I want you to understand, you became a child of God because of what Jesus Christ did for you. And He is pleased with you and He loves you. And tonight when you go home, you don't have to get down before Him and feel guilt and remorse of something. If you've got some sin in your life, confess it. But the fact of the matter is, He loves you because He died for you. And He paid for your sin. And you are His, and you are His because of what He did. And He will love you. Now, there are people who are workers in the church. There are people who come to church and they're going to try to work. Some people are trying to work to get saved. Some saved people are trying to work to please God. And I want you to understand that He's pleased with you. This woman was a worker. She was out doing something. I don't know what she was getting the water for. She may have just been getting it for her own self, but she's there at the well at the proper time. I think she's getting it to take care of someone. There are workers in the church. Number two, she goes from being a worker to being a whisperer. Look in verse 9. It says, "Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Do you know people who are always talking about other people behind their back? They're always telling about how this, and obviously she was in on some gossip. Obviously she was in on the bad about the Jews, because she said, "Oh, you Jews." I mean, she didn't get a little snippy attitude like that just right there when Jesus showed up. She had a bad attitude about Jews. She said, "Jews hate us and we hate Jews. And what are you doing here?" And she just said it to her. You know, the Bible says about whisperers that whisperers separateth the chiefest of friends. Do you know that you can love somebody and care about somebody and then go and have somebody tell you about how this person's uncaring, or this person does this, or this person does that, and whisper those things in your ear? And the Bible says a whisperer will separate the chiefest of friends. You can be the dearest friend with somebody and have somebody else whisper, "Oh, he only does that, or she only does that because of," and whatever they say, and you hear it. Now the thought's been placed in your mind. Now you're thinking the thought. And the next time that person is kind to you, you think, "Oh, they're only doing that because of what the whisperer said." And now you have whisperers. In the church, you have whisperers. You have people. She reveals to Jesus that she was a whisperer. She begins to critique Jesus. Why does he do what he does? But Jesus takes no offense with that. She went from being a worker, we saw that she's a worker, she is a whisperer. But then we go beyond that, because whisperers never stop. Whisperers become whiners. Look in verse 10. In verse 10, the Bible says, "Jesus said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Hey, you could have gotten some great stuff from God if you would have just not been whispering. If you would have just let me give to you, you could have gotten some great things. So what does she do? She starts whining. So the woman says unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And from whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children?" Look at she She becomes an absolute critic. She tells Jesus, first of all, you don't have what it takes to give me water. You don't have what it takes. I have a need and you can't meet it. And then she says to him, who in the world do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You think you're better than Jacob? Well, he knew he was better than Jacob. Can you say amen to that? She said, who do you think you are? Do you know that if you walk with confidence, believing that God can take care of anything, if you walk with confidence and you're doing what God wants you to do, there will always be someone that comes along and says, what are you doing? You can't do that. I can remember when we were going to start this church, somebody was very dear to me, said, you can't start a church. You just graduated from college. You don't just go to college, come home to Las Vegas, Nevada, and start a church. You can't do that. You just don't, that's not the way it's done. Well, what are you supposed to do? I don't know, but that's not the way to do it. People will tell you, anytime you start to do something for God, anytime you proclaim that God wants to do something great, anytime you start talking about God accomplishing something in your life, there will always be someone saying, well, it can't happen. It's not going to work. You can't do that. And who do you think you are? You think you're something special to God? And the answer should always be, yes, you are something special to God. You're a child of God. And if you're a child of God that believes God, then you're different than a lot of children of God who are just sitting around complaining about how bad things are. God wants to use you. God wants to work through your life. Don't let whiners, don't let complainers, don't let people who say it can't be done tell you that it can't be done. If God puts something on your heart, then just go do it for God. Can you say amen to that? I mean, they whined when Noah was building the ark, I am sure. When Abraham went out from Ur, I'm sure there are people who say, what are you doing? Where are you going? Anytime when David started walking out to fight the giant, his brothers said, well, you're just out here trying to show off like you're some big shot. Nobody's trying to show off. Nobody's trying to be a big shot. Nobody's trying to do anything. We're just trying to do what God wants us to do. Don't let the whiners stop you. Just do what God wants you to do. Just be what God wants you to be. She started off as a worker trying to prove herself. There's the whisper. There's the whiner. And then I want you to see what happens. I want you to see. She went from being a whiner to being wowed by God. She was wowed by God. Look at this. So the Bible says, I don't even know where I am right now. Oh, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. Okay, all right. If you can get me that kind of water, give me the water. So then the conversation goes on. And she says, give me the water. He says, okay, go get your husband. And she says, don't have a husband. You're right. You're an adulterer. You've had five husbands, and now you're living in adultery with somebody who's not your husband. And she said, wow. This is somebody that I've never, when God begins to work in your life, when God begins to speak to your heart, when you get real with God, God will get real with you. She became wowed by God. She said, look at what God knows about me. She went from being wowed to being watered. Look what happens. I love this. She said, I want the water. He said, okay, then tell me about your life. No, let me tell you about your life. You've lived in adultery. You're living in adultery. And you need to get right. Wow, you must be a prophet. Where should we worship? Let's not talk about worship. Let's talk about you. This woman receives what Jesus Christ said she would receive. she would receive water. She would get filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour in verse 21 cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What happened was this lady said, man, you've got something that I want. Can I have it? He said, yeah, you got to confess your sin. You've got to admit that you're a sinner. I want you to be honest with me. Obviously, she says to him, yeah, okay, I admit it. I need that. I want the water. She receives the water. And he explains what that water is. It's the Holy Spirit of God coming to live inside of you so that you can be, so that you can worship God the way God wants you to. And so she allows, she admits her sin. She comes to Jesus. And by the way, that's the only way the Holy Spirit will ever fill your life. You come to him daily and you say to him, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. To get saved, you say, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you're God. I know that you suffered and died for me, was buried and rose from the dead for me, and I'm asking you to give me eternal life. He gives you that eternal life. And then you ask him daily, control me. I need you to control me because I can't do it myself. I can't be the worker. I've tried to work to please you. I can't do that. But if your Holy Spirit will fill me and control me, then I can do what you want me to do. God wants us to be watered. God wants us to be filled. God wants us to fill us with the Holy Spirit so he does things in our lives that we can't do ourselves. Kurt and I were just talking a few minutes ago about the needs of friends that we have, that we're ministering to. There's a time you just say, I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. There's things that you just cannot do in life. There's things that you can't accomplish. But there's nothing that God cannot accomplish. Can you say amen to that? And so what he wants to do is fill you with his Holy Spirit so he can accomplish out of your life what you could never accomplish yourself. So she is filled now with the Spirit of God. And look, she's the bad woman of the city. She's the harlot from Sychar. Everybody knows the way she's living. This is no huge metropolis. Everybody knows what she's done. Everybody knows how wicked she is. But God says, look, Jesus said, look, if you get this water and it fills you, then what you're going to do, you're not going to worry about being in this place or that. You will worship God in spirit and in truth. So she went from being watered to becoming a worshiper. And she starts worshiping the Lord. She worships the Lord. She bows down before him. Her spirit now is bowed before the Lord. And what she does immediately is amazing. She goes back into this city where she is known as the bad woman. Where she's known as the person that has done these things. She's been with several different men. She goes back into the city and she talks to the men of the city. And she tells them, hey, there is somebody out there that knows everything I've ever done. I always think that's very interesting. This woman who's been with men in the city goes back into the city and says, hey, there's a guy out there who knows everything. And the men, all of a sudden, boom, they're going to go out and find out what he knows. Because what happened in Sychar didn't stay in Sychar. You understand? So they're going out to find out what exactly this guy knows. This girl, who was a woman of ill repute, who is trying to work to please God, who has whispered about everybody else, who has whined about how it can't be done, gets wowed by God. She gets watered by God. She is filled with the Spirit of God. She then worships God, and then she becomes a winner. She goes out and tells other people about Jesus Christ. She brings the entire city to Jesus, and they get saved. Man, It's amazing. This isn't over a period of months. This isn't over a period of years. This isn't over a period of weeks. This is in a matter of a few moments. God took this whining, wimpy, loser of a woman in a situation that was a hostile situation for himself. God takes her, and a woman that was trying to work to please God, and brings her to a point where she is now filled with the Spirit of God. She worships God, and she goes back and she wins her city for Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that that's what God wants for you and God wants for me? He wants us not to be people who just sit back. By the way, there's one more type of person we find in the church, and that's the watcher. There are people who are watching. The disciples come back, and the disciples see what's going on. He's talking to that woman. He's talking to her. You know her. And he's talking to her, and she's a Samaritan, and he's a man, and she's a woman, and they're talking, and look what's going on. And they watch the whole thing, and then they get to watch. As they're watching, they watch the lady get up and go in the city, and the lady goes in the city and does what they're supposed to be doing. They went out to find food to eat for themselves. She went out to bring people to the one who could feed them the bread of life and give them the water of life. She goes out to get, and all they're doing is watching. And Jesus says, look, guys, look unto the fields, for they're white already unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that'll send forth laborers. You guys that are watching, you need to become like the woman that you were criticizing. You need to become the person that's going out there telling other people about Jesus Christ. Hey, let's not be watchers. Let's be winners. Can you say amen to that? Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's allow the process of service to take place in our life so we'll become what God wants us to be. Father, help us to take your word. Help us to live your word. Father, help us not just to sit back, criticize or complain or whine. Help us to be like this woman. Father, when we have our needs, bring our needs to you. Let you meet our needs. Be honest and open before you so that you can change our lives so that we can be used by you to reach other people. Fill us with your Spirit, God, as a church. Make us, Father, a Spirit-filled church. Make us a giving church. Make us a praying church. Make us a church that doesn't watch while a few people go out. Make us a church that goes together to win other people for you. Thank you, Father, for the new members that you've brought to this church. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our church. And we pray you'll continue to do that. I pray you'll bless the time of fellowship tonight. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.